Hey everybody, thanks for being here today. I'm Matt Blair, lead pastor here at Solace Church, and we're so glad that you're here. So here we are at the end of a series called Till Death, and if you've been with us in this series, we have been talking about how to create practical oneness in a marriage relationship. So in marriage, God unites a husband and wife, and they become one flesh. But one flesh is a supernatural, spiritual event that happens from God to us, that we don't create one flesh. God does that, and we cannot undo with a divorce certificate what God has done in creating one flesh in a marriage relationship, right? It doesn't mean that the Bible doesn't say that there's no reason for divorce, but divorce in and of itself cannot undo the oneness God creates just by handing us a sheet of paper. Now, we talk, though, practically about the fact that even though God creates oneness between a man and a woman in marriage, that doesn't mean that couples live in oneness. They don't live out practical oneness. So they exist in a home together, but there might not be any connection, any intimacy in the relationship, and not just sexually, but emotionally, relationally, in any area of intimacy. So we've been talking about how to create oneness, and we talked about the importance of a mindset, covenant mindset. I'm with you. I'm not talking about divorce. We're not entertaining that idea. I'm with you till death, no matter what. That's the mindset that Christ has for his church and that we ought to have for one another in marriage relationships. We talked about intimacy, the heartbeat of the marriage, and that is that thing that nourishes the marriage. So every day, every week, every month, every year, there's things that we're doing to invest and pour into our relationships. And so my prayer would be, if you were here for those messages, that you begin to do some of these things, or that you were encouraged to continue some practices you already have in your relationship. Last week we talked about that other piece that helps us create practical oneness, and that is conflict resolution. We learned last week that fighting against one another does nothing, but fighting for one another actually helps us resolve conflict. And so those pieces, covenant, intimacy, conflict resolution, allow practical oneness to occur. As a matter of fact, the verse in Scripture that we've studied in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, speaks to what God longs for every marriage to look like. It's the verse we've studied. For this reason, a man leaves father and mother, glues himself to his wife. So remember, leaves a priority relationship in mom and dad and unites or glues himself or herself to a higher priority relationship in husband and wife. And then the two become one flesh. So after a couple united in marriage and begins to practice oneness, what is the result? What happens in a couple's life when they actually begin to live out practical oneness? Where do they land? Where do they end up? What does God do? How does God use their lives? I want to wrap this whole series up by helping you understand today what practical oneness ends up achieving for a couple that is married. I don't know if you're watching the Olympics. I've watched some of the Olympics, and I've enjoyed watching, you know, some of the different events. Love curling. Isn't that awesome? Come on. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Two or three of you. Love it. But one of the most fascinating events in the Winter Olympics to me is like figure skating. I am blown away at the ability of someone on ice. If you ever skated on ice, you know what I'm talking about. It's very hard to do. And they're flipping around and twisting around and contorting their body in ways I've never even dreamed of contorting my body, and lifting their leg above their head and spinning. It's crazy, right? It's amazing what they're able to do. And they're so graceful on the ice. And when it's done right, you're like, that was incredible. But what we sometimes fail to remember is that they didn't get to a place where they can do all that on the ice overnight. There were years and years of practice that had to go into this. As a matter of fact, the Winter Olympics only comes around every 4 years. And so think about this. These individuals who are top-notch athletes compete in events throughout the year, certainly. But the main event, the Olympics, they have to wait 4 years to be a part of. Now, I don't know if you've ever been a part of a team that had to practice so that you'd be ready to play, but I remember playing football, and 1 week of practice was way too long to play the game on Friday. Could you imagine 4 years of practice to get ready for one event that you were able to be a part of. Well, that's the incredible part of the Olympics, that these people work hard. They go through all the ups and downs, all the falls, all the trials, all the testing to end up to a place where they can perform on this incredible stage. And I would suggest to you that practical oneness is a lot like that. That through the years, you go through the ups and downs, you deal with conflict, you deal with trials, you deal with difficulties, and all that up and down, God begins to take. And it's like training and discipline. It's molding and shaping couples to reach a point where God takes all that good, bad, and ugly and brings it together like only God can do for some kind of incredible kingdom purpose. As a matter of fact, I would suggest to you that every single couple here today that is married, certainly individually in our lives, but even as couples, God is taking your marriage relationship and he's using every bit of it to bring you to a place where you can make a kingdom difference through your marriage relationship. I want to introduce you to a couple that is on that type of journey. Their names are Jeff and Sabrina Journey. And in just a moment, I'm going to show you a little bit of their story. But here's what I want you to realize about them. Jeff and Sabrina have been willing to be sensitive to all that God has been trying to teach them throughout the years. And you're going to see that it doesn't mean that things are absolutely always right. But what you're going to discover is that when you're open to what God has for you, God can take everything that you don't understand and create something beautiful because he is the one who holds our future in his hand. Watch this video. We're not here today because you have the perfect marriage.
That's right.
we all understand that every marriage has challenges. And so I don't want anyone to think who's listening to this that you're up here on some kind of pedestal. But rather, over the last few years, we're interested to hear about the journey that God's taken you guys on. And so let's just talk a little bit about that. You guys met in high school, is that right?
That's right. Right.
So did you date through high school?
When I was a senior, mm-hmm. and she was a sophomore, we started dating.
Awesome. And how long after that did you get married?
3.5 years.
Yeah.
Three and a half years later?
Yeah. Okay.
Did you date that entire time?
Mm-hmm.
Great, okay. So married 3.5 years into that, and so how long now have you guys been married?
28 years, almost.
That's amazing. I mean, in our society today, with divorce rates as high as they are, I mean, it's incredible that you've made it 28 years, so congratulations on that.
Thanks.
Let's talk a little bit about the last 28 years. As we started this with no marriage is perfect, and you guys have had ups and downs, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about your journey together, your marriage relationship.
We were very young, 19 and 18. Didn't really know,
what we were doing or what we were getting into.
Right.
Yeah. You had kids? Mm-hmm. Three kids?
Mm-hmm. Pretty early.
Early? Okay. All right. And how was that, having kids in the mix?
Busy.
Yeah. I can relate.
Yeah, because we were so young and we started so young, we hadn't really figured out how to do the two of us. And then we're adding kids into that,
yeah.
So... It created its challenges, but
yeah, and I think every married couple that has kids can appreciate the feelings of exhaustion, the feelings of being overwhelmed, having to parent them and teach them and then discipline them and remind them over and over again. Those are things that are challenging for any couple to go through. Can you tell me at all about the dynamic of your marriage relationship through those years where the girls were all in the house and you were raising them? Did you feel some strain on your marriage? Did you feel more connected? Did you struggle with continuing to be connected?
As a mother, it's hard to not allow the children to become your priority.
Sure.
And forget that God's plan is for your spouse to be, in a position of priority above the kids. So, and that, I struggled with that. I did not do well with that a lot of times.
So, what did you do? I mean, how did you get past that point? I mean, you made it 28 years. Painful conversations, just kind of enduring forgiveness. What kind of helped you through that period of time?
I think it was just our commitment to God, and that God would... it was God's plan for us to stay together and to be together until death.
What would you say to a couple that might find themselves struggling right now with maybe being out of step and out of rhythm? Is there any advice you might be able to give to them, you know, 28 years later, that might be able to help them on their own personal story?
It's His desire for the couple to be close and to last forever. And whenever you put your focus on God, then your heart desires become what His heart desires.
Tell me about the times that maybe you felt out of step or out of sync with one another. What are the things that you would be willing to share with those who are listening today about when you felt out of sync or out of step?
Sabrina mentioned that it was hard for her to separate the parental role and balance that with the spouse role. I turned the focus on me and started, you know, feeling neglected or you know, like
left out.
Does she notice me? You know, would it matter if I was here? And the busyness of life and having girls that were very active, and then just not keeping the focus where it should have been.
I had a fear whenever my youngest was getting ready to go to college, which is about the time we came to Solace, that I started scheduling things for after she left the home. And I overscheduled. So my fear was that we hadn't been just the two of us in so long that were we going to be bored? Where we didn't know what to do. And so we were involved in, especially me, in way too much. And so then I realized it was kind of nice to not have to worry about the girls, and because Taylor did go away for a year and then came back. So then I started getting out of some commitments, but we sat down and we talked about what is it that we want to get out of and what is it that we want to stay involved in.
You're not quite empty nesters yet, but you're getting to that point where you kind of raise the kids and you both have careers, you both have jobs, and but you also have a ministry. And when you guys first came to our church, one of the things that I could see in you is this desire to serve people, to be engaged in meaningful activities, to love people where they're at. And you know, as the heartbeat of our church, Solace Church, that certainly was amazing to me. And you know, that doesn't happen by accident. Marriages don't just end up at a place where both husband and wife long to serve, long to find this kind of purpose, this kind of ministry that God would have for them. But you guys, again, not perfect, but you guys, through 28 years, have been able to find something of significance, a ministry that your heart beats for. Tell me a little bit about West Tulsa Outreach. How did that get started?
Well, at our former church, we'd had a weekend that was a lay renewal weekend where just lay people from a group come to your church and they have breakout sessions with classes and some preaching. And as a result of that weekend, it stirred the people in the church. Our pastor got stirred and asked each Sunday school department to come up with a ministry or a mission. So our Adult 2 class, through, you know, prayer and seeking what God wanted us to do, came up with the idea to start an apartment ministry. We picked the apartment we were going to do, we decided how we were going to do it, and we ran into some roadblocks because we left God out of it, but that was the beginning of it.
So you took that step, you began serving, and you said you ran into some roadblocks, but God continued to lead you guys, and the roadblocks ended up actually serving to kind of direct you to a place where you guys eventually ended up. Right. Tell me a little bit about that.
The apartment complex that we had started at, it took a lot of effort to get people to participate in what we were doing. So we would go and put flyers, we would knock on doors that morning, and we had an okay turnout, but we were kind of disappointed in how that was going. And so, you know, we were brainstorming on how to improve that and praying about it. And in the meantime, through my work, we started on a venture to help Eugene Field Elementary School. And so a coworker and I went to meet with the principal, and she told us some amazing stories about how when the building was built, that her and about 40 of the staff had went through and written scriptures all on the, you know, before the sheetrock was put up. So it's all there, you know, under the walls. And finally we realized that although God did lead us to this idea and this concept, we felt that God was pulling us towards Eugene Field rather than where we were.
School that we do the outreach out of is fed by at least 5 low-income housing apartment complexes through donated clothing articles, shoes. We are able to meet a need that these people have.
So Friday night, you're putting all this stuff together, getting it ready, getting it set up. On a Saturday, once a quarter, you're able to have a place at Eugene Field where people from the area who are oftentimes are without have a chance to go and receive clothes and a meal. They get a chance to receive toiletries for their house, and all because of people's generosity. I think what's really amazing to me about what you guys are doing is the fact that both of you are engaged in this, and this is meaningful to both of you. And it's not just, you know, Jeff going to do his own thing and Sabrina going to do her own thing, but God has really interweaved your lives together in such a way where He's, after all these years, brought you to a place where your marriage has lasted, you've endured the tests of time, and now you're able to carry out this really incredible thing just by serving and loving these people. So, you know, on top of or alongside of this West Tulsa outreach, God's really positioned you guys to have an opportunity to open your home up through Solace Groups. And tell me a little bit about that.
I think that Solace Groups helps us find other Christian couples to become friends with and to build relationships with. And I think that's important for your marriage as well, to socially hang out.
We facilitate one, attend one. If they offered them 6 nights a week somewhere, yeah, we might go.
Well, Jeff and Sabrina, I really appreciate you being willing to share a little bit about your story and how God has taken you from a young couple of 18, 19 years old and sustaining your marriage for almost 28 years, giving you 3 beautiful girls. And all these years positioning you, preparing you to be able to go on a journey together as husband and wife to make a significant difference in this area. And my hope and my prayer would be that those who are listening this morning would be inspired to be praying that God would do something similar, unique for them, but similar in that their lives would be so joined together that they would have this incredible purpose that they're living out. So thank you for being willing to be sensitive to what God wanted for your life.
Thank you.
And the truth is, Jeff and Sabrina would tell you that they are no different or no better than anyone else in this room right now. They made a decision that they would submit their hearts to Christ and allow themselves to be used. And God is doing a great work in them and through them. Dave and Iva Gillum, who will be launching a new church would say the same thing. The significance of their lives is centered on the person and work of Jesus. Their lives are just surrendered to His purposes and plans. In our church, Jeff and Tanya Jackson, they're going to be heading to Ivory Coast, Africa, to live in an orphanage and care for kids because they have submitted themselves to the purposes of God. And Matt and Jennifer Blair have seen God do incredible things, not because we're incredible, because Jesus is incredible. When our hearts are surrendered to Him, He accomplishes more in us and among us and through us than we could ever dream. He longs to do that in your life as well. Your marriage has a purpose, a kingdom purpose. And my prayer is that we would not get so wrapped up in believing that marriage is about making me happy, but rather that we would begin to understand and believe that marriage is about a kingdom expression of God's grace and His sovereignty working in our life. So if you're here this morning, and maybe you've been struggling to understand what God's up to, why the controversy, why the conflict, why the problems, why the trials, today I would hope that you would understand that God longs to take all of that, put it on a table, spin it around, mold it into a beautiful expression of what God can do when we are clay in His hands. So if you're here this morning and that's you, and maybe you've been thinking about, is the marriage okay for me? Should I stay? Should I go? Maybe you've been struggling to understand it all. Man, my prayer would be today that you would be inspired to know, encouraged to know that God has great plans for your marriage as well. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes today?
Hey, this is Pastor Matt Blair. Thank you so much for taking time to check out our podcast today at solacechurch.com. You know, we realize that it's possible, as you listen to this message today, that God may have spoken to your heart about something. So if you made any kind of spiritual decision, we would love to know about that. You can email us at info@solacechurch.com and let us know what happened in your life today. Once again, thank you so much for taking time to check out this podcast.